time of worship. And thank you, Edwin, beautifully leading us. Yeah, yeah. So who's going to get to that? Let's get a microphone. Mary has a beautiful friend all the way from Singapore to stay with her. Her bosom friend, you know, from young days. Yeah, can you tell us your name? We welcome you to GI.
Sorry, I'm having a cold, so my voice is a bit off. My name is Song, S-O-N-G, Yang Liu Song.
Yang Liu San.
Yes,
okay.
Song.
Song, S-O-N-G. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. That's right.
Everybody knows now. I'm going back tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah, nice to have met all of you.
Fantastic. Nice to meeting you too. Yeah, welcome. Song. Beautiful name, Song. Also, welcome back to David Choi. Yeah. David had a surgery done about 6 weeks ago and has been recovering. And how are you? How is the recovery? Okay, tell us how you're going. Good, good, okay, good. He's good, you're good. Praise God. So good to see the whole family again, because we missed you. And, you know, we're all body of Christ, and it's never the same when we miss one another, like, you know. Yeah, so praise God that we are in a very, very loving family. One more person I wanna, yeah. Catherine, how are you, Catherine? So good to see you. Catherine stands out. Yeah. Gandalf. No. Prayer warrior. So it's good to see you back. It's great to have, you know, your big smile. It's wonderful. Praise God. So it's good. I wanna maybe we can sing. Just, would you like to sing a bit more? Yeah, because I can shorten my preaching. Why don't we sing There Is a River, right? Yeah, it's just, there is a flow of the presence of God here. Mia can lead us.
It flows from God above. for just maybe 1 minute, and we'll sing maybe one more verse, and then I'll pass on to Paul, because I feel that there are people, I mean all of us here, maybe sometimes we feel like the Samaritan women. We blow it, we mess up, and we're not very proud of some things in our life. There are failures, there are good things God has blessed, but there are things we struggle with. And I think God is saying to you today, come to me, don't run away from me, come, run to me, run to the Lord, come to his waters. There is a vast supply Amen. Of his grace and mercy that flows out from the cross of Calvary to you, that he may feed you, that you may drink from his everlasting fountain of life, resurrection life, that he gives to you freely. He wants you to drink it. He doesn't want you to run away from him in your failure, in when you mess up. He wants you to come run to him, for he has the word of life. Yeah? If you are like the Samaritan woman today, and I feel like a Samaritan woman many times, let's run to him and receive from him today. Let's sing verse 2 and verse 3.
Father, we pray right now, Lord, drench us with your river of life. Jesus, you came to give us life, life abundantly. Jesus, you came to take away our tears, fill our hearts with joy and hope, strength, oh God. Lord, we pray, Lord, right now, as we jump into your river, Lord, that you will drink to overflowing today, Lord. Father God, through our pores of our being, our spirit, oh God, let your living water flow out from our innermost being and flow into life eternal today. Lord Jesus, just release your river, Lord, throughout the day. Even as we sit here, turn to your word, Lord. Speak to us, oh God. Open up the channels of life, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you will carry away every sorrow, oh God. I pray, Lord, that every groaning, Lord, that you will just cause it to be washed in the name of Jesus and fill us, oh God, with the life that flows from above. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You are the life giver. You came, oh God, to give us life and life more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. We're turning to the Lord, to the Word, but I want you to still stay connected with this river of life. I feel as we were worshiping the Lord, there's just presence of God is here. God can do anything. He can work miracles. He can speak to you. I just want to share some little study on henna, on strategic barrenness. And I want to encourage us to press into God and never give up. Amen, amen. God has a purpose for your life. There is a river of God that is flowing, that is always flowing. And God wants us to come and not faint on the way. Amen. Not faint. Let's not faint on the way when roads are difficult, but make our journey all the way to the throne of God and drink of this river. And turn our challenges into prayer. You know, everybody, you're more powerful than you think. You know, often we think that we need great education, great power, great this and that, you know. But we don't need any of that. If you're people of God, we are. Because we got our greatest weapon and resource is that, do you have a mouth? Do you have a mouth? Yes. You can talk to God. That's it. Do you have a pain in your heart? You can cry out to God. That's the greatest power and force that release heaven, that release and unlock heaven's resources and power to you. No matter what situation we are in, whatever barrenness we are going through, if you can just open your mouth and channel your heart and connect with God in prayer, anything and everything can be turned around. Amen. Amen. So let's read. I'm going to turn to the first book of Samuel and quickly read through maybe, almost first chapter. And then I want to just make some comments and share from the Word of God. Okay. First book of Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1. Okay. Now there was a certain man of Rephaim, Zephoim, a lot of a funny name, Zephoim, of the mountain of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, son of Joroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, it's not Tofu, Tohu, son of Zuf, then Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. Can we say that together? The Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. I think it's more like she couldn't eat because she was so upset. When you're so upset, all the acids turn, you know, and you can't process anything, so can't eat. That's forced fasting. Verse 8, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And she quietly said, no. Verse 9, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And she made a vow to the Lord and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah was not so upset that she stopped praying. It didn't throw her off, but rather she responded in humility and honesty. Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. Sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink." She can't even eat. Why would she drink wine? "But have poured my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." And the story goes, this is Hannah, you all know Hannah. Hannah's name means favor, means grace. And she must have felt so further from favor, because there's only one thing she really wanted and she can't have. She is favored by her husband, but she really wants a child. She wants to win a child. She wants her love. You know, when love is bottled up, motherhood, it can't express, and she just feels, especially now it's made worse because the other wife, rivalry, she has many sons and daughters. And every time they go up to the house of the Lord to worship, she will provoke her very, very severely. I can imagine, you know, if Hannah can, you know, woke up, and it's not probably direct, it's more like, you know, Asian way, indirect provoking. Because it's Middle East, very Asian culture there. Like, you know, "Hi, Hannah, how are you?" You know, being very nice, and "Yes, good." And she feels like, you know, "Oh, I had such a bad, you know, backache, and my shoulder ache, my slept and in the wrong side, you know, I'm in so much pain." And just, you know, wild up her compassion, and she says, "But my son massaged my, you know, back and my shoulder, and I'm good, praise God, you know. Come here, massage me here, massage me here." Go, "Oh, very good, very good." And Hannah just breaks down and cries, just walks away. You know, things like that can happen. And Hannah is so upset because it happens not once, not twice, but every year. It goes on and on. I mean, have you had something like that? I mean, not that you are... We all have one husband, right, and one wife, Christians. But in different situations, there are things that can provoke you, things that you really want, but you can't have because you're barren, and it doesn't occur to you it was actually hand of the Lord. It says it's the hand of the Lord, and it was a strategic hand of the Lord for Hannah to come to a certain place to find the release from God. Peninnah means pearl. And she does it every year. And one day, it's just too much. Hannah is inconsolable. She hits the roof, and I think she's depressed. Would you say she's depressed? She enters into clinical depression because she is crying, She's weeping. She's not eating. And she can't eat. And she seems to be just mumbling things all alone. And even Eli thinks that, you know, she's drunk. I mean, how did she look? Maybe she didn't comb her hair. And she's just pouring out her soul. And she's inconsolable. She hit this brick wall. And these are the 10 descriptions of Hannah's heartache. I mean, this is really comprehensive. I'll give you, you know, 10 different things in a way it describes Hannah's pain. Hannah was provoked severely, continually, it says twice, continually. This is going on and on and on. And she can't get away from her because they're living under the same roof. Number two, Peninnah made her miserable. Do you know what it feels like? Miserable? Miserable. And Peninnah has this power. She can press a button. Hello, my son, come. Or my daughter, come. You know, why don't you massage me here? Or, you know, bring the water. Can you cook? Can you go and, you know, bring rabbit and all that? You can just, there are a million things that she can do to press a button. Hannah is weeping uncontrollably. She's just breaking down in the morning, breaking down in the afternoon. And then she doesn't even know sometimes. She's cooking and then she's breaking down. Tear is running through her eyes and she doesn't even know why. This is clinical depression, right? She did not eat and she's grieved in her heart. She's carrying continual grief. And then Bible also describes as a bitterness of the soul. You feel bitter inside. It's been a long time you felt happy or light or bright because you continually feel bitter. You've got the bitter taste, bitter inside all the time. And when you feel less bitter, you notice it. It feels like, whoa, what a release. So people with the bitterness of the soul, what they do is you're trying to get away, you're trying to disconnect from the bitterness so that you get into something like watching television. Not just the normal watching, but, you know, obsession. You have a 60 series of Korean drama of watching someone more bitter than you. And you just enjoy the sorrow of another person. You drown your own sorrow with somebody else's sorrow and you feel for a little time relieved from your own bitterness. But that's kind of an escape. So what you do is you keep going. You keep escaping, and your daily life suffers because you don't have energy for anything because you're just running away from something on the inside, or you're drinking, or, you know, something to ease your pain, right? And she wept in anguish. At times, she would burst out in weeping, but in anguish, she would go, ah! In anguish, she was weeping. So this is happening to her. And she's saying, she her own description before the Lord, affliction, I am afflicted. And her view of herself is very low, of your maidservant. Your maidservant is continually afflicted in this life. And then another description is sorrowful spirit, someone with sorrowful spirit. And finally, number 10, she has abundance of complaint and grief. I don't know whether it describes, I mean, it shouldn't be, I guess, you know, spirit-filled Christian life, but reality at times is that there is bitter pool in our lives, even, you know, when we become Christians, that bitterness that we experienced in the past sometimes can haunt us and continually cast dark shadow into our present and into our future. And her prayer turns into abundance of complaint and outpouring of grief. Now, when you have abundance of complaint, you know, there's 10,000 reasons to complain and very little things to thank God for, you're not in a good place. As the Bible says, be thankful, right? We can always find things to thank God for that lifts us from this kind of a whirlpool of sorrow and depression. So it's pretty intense pain described in, I don't know any other place that has this comprehensive biblical description of pain, probably except maybe Jeremiah and Job, right? There's a pretty good description of what she's going through. And this is a really complete list. You know, when I read it, it makes me to think about Jesus' words, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. I think she's very poor. I mean, she's destitute. She's basically biting the dust and trying to just breathe, keep her head above the water. And I was reading this, and I'm, you know, when you read this, I've written in my Bible, why is God so cruel on my side? You can check. Why is God so cruel? Do you feel that way at times? No. Why me? Why me? So cruel. But the Bible says that God has closed her womb twice. This is not cruelty of God, but this is a strategic barrenness of God that was on Hannah. So this led Hannah to seek God in the pain of her soul, to seek deeper encounter with God in prayer. And she was honest. She poured out her sorrow before God. This is called part of prayer. Part of prayer is being honest with God and pouring out our sorrow before God rather than bottle it all up. God can take it, even our complaints and grief, if we are honest with God. And that's what Hannah did. And she says, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. What a beautiful picture of prayer. A woman in prayer, a person in pain in prayer, draw nearest to God. I said, I poured out my soul like a water. I poured it out before the Lord. Would to God that God's people in the 21st century, that we learn as the saints in the old days, not that they were more special than us, that we learn rather than distract us from pain, rather than put bandage, plastic bandage over pain to get through another day and another day, another week, that we go before God deep into the prayer room, wherever it may be. We've got a prayer room 24/7. Anyone can use it. It's for you. The room is dedicated only for prayer. You can, if you get distracted at home, by yourself, you can come. It's open. Code is 0633. You can open the door and get in there and pour out your soul before God like water. Have you done that? Have you done that in the past? Because we all know what it's like to be grieved in the spirit. But this is a key. It's so simple, but so hard. Because it takes the brave to face God head on. Head on. And face your pain head on before God. And pour your soul before God in prayer. Like you pour your water, bucket of bottled up emotion, just pour it out before God. That's what God wanted. And in that prayer, in that holy moment of wrestling with God, she comes to a place where she makes a vow before God. It's a holy vow and saying, if you will remember me, if you will make me fruitful, I will give that son to you all the days of his life. And she will be a Nazarite. This is a Nazarite vow. No razor will come upon his head. You know, when you look at Nazarite vow, it's in Numbers chapter 6. It was really given to Israel for those who really intensely desire God for a period of time. So, you know how sometimes you feel like you just, your spirit just burns. I need God. I need a room. I need to shut myself in the presence of God for this 1 week. And then they will say, you know, 1 week or, you know, 1 month, like fasting, and say, you don't, you know, cut your hair, you don't drink any grape, and so on, a number of things. And then you give yourself to God for that period of time as priests would give themselves to God. After the period is over, you cut your hair and, you know, it's done. And your vow is fulfilled. This is new because she's saying, I am going to go so far that my son will be given to you all the days of his life. This is a lifetime Nazarite vow. Mother made it for Samuel. Only exception to that, this is new, only exception to that was Samson. Samson was called to be a Nazarite, but there was an angelic encounter. He said, he shall be a Nazarite. He shall not cut his hair. But now Hannah is making initiative, saying, God, God, I will give him to you. And she does. This vow was so real, she does. I mean, can you imagine that as soon as the boy is weaned, how old are they weaned? I don't know. I mean, we weaned them off in about a year. Back in those days, they drank mother's milk a little longer, so maybe two, maybe three. And then Samuel was left in the temple to serve God, and the mother will go back home. I mean, I just, wow, it's incredible, hard. And she kept it. And this was God's plan, see? This was God's plan. What God wanted, because this was a time of great transition of the nation. Before Samuel was what? Time of judges. Everybody did what was right in their sight. There was no people sin. And then they get oppressed. They cry out to God. God sends deliverer. They get delivered. And then they still do whatever they want. And they get oppressed. They cry out. God sends judges. Delivered. So they keep going through now. There's an epoch is changing. God wants to bring in kingdom era through King David. So then what does God do? In order to reshape whole of Israel into the next phase, next era, a voice of God has to be restored on earth. There were prophets, there were dreamers, there were those who prophesying, but none was like Samuel. Samuel had a voice of God from the throne established in Shiloh as a boy. And you know, the Bible says, through Samuel, the word of the Lord came to all of Israel. And God let none of the words of Samuel to fall to the ground. Isn't that incredible? I mean, right now, even the really high-level prophets, we don't have 100%. You know, there's a little bit of hit and miss, and you go a little disappointed. Something didn't come to pass. And so we weigh them. We weigh everybody's words. Because as far as I know, I don't see anyone like Samuel today at that level, even though we are getting there. It doesn't mean that we should throw out the whole prophetic gifts. Okay, but Samuel, with Samuel, the voice of God came down. And then Israel could move forward. In between this time, God used Hannah's barren womb to bring forth a holy seed. Not anyone. See, God does it all the time. Did you know all of the matriarchs were barren? They couldn't naturally have child of the promise. None of them. Abraham and Sarah. Sarah went through 25 years of waiting. And when she was 99 or 90, she had a child. She couldn't have it in a natural way. Why God shut her womb. So was Rebecca and Rachel. And I'm wondering, this is the pattern of God. God wants to bring in something very, very special. And God uses impossible situation. God prepares some barren womb. You have a holy desire, and it's somehow not happening. Or there is a certain thing that's causing you pain, and that's bringing you to God, to cry out to Him. So all of the children of the promise, significant children of promise, they were birthed through barren womb. So that it couldn't be attributed to, you know, I'm quite healthy, I can do it. I'm pretty gifted, I can do it. It was impossible, so that nothing can get the glory, but it's the work of God. God gets the glory. Amen? Amen. There's the same story. Did you know there's a New Testament Hannah? Her name is? Does anybody know? New Testament Hannah? Yes, somebody said Anna. Anna. Remember Anna the prophetess? She was in prayer. That's the same Hebrew word, Hannah. And you know, Anna. It's the same word, means grace. And she was struck, it seems, with tragedy that she was married. Her husband passed away pretty early on. And she was a widow for 84 years of barren womb. She was a prophetess. She will not depart from the temple, praying and fasting and serving the Lord. And guess what? I believe God used her travail of prayer to give birth. This is spiritual birth to the coming of Jesus Christ, who was also born through Virgin Mary. But it wasn't Mary's prayer. It was Anna's prayer. 80-something years of prayer that brought Jesus through virgin womb. So it is with the same voice of God had to precede coming of Jesus. And what's that? John the Baptist was birthed through barren womb, Elizabeth. You see the pattern here? The pattern is that when God moves is significantly, when he is bringing in significant new era, he prepares barren, parched hearts, anguish of heart, barren womb. And he brings them to place of brokenness, brings them to place of prayer, all or nothing. There is no other option to corner them. There's no wiggling out. There's no making life on your own pretty good and I'm pretty happy. You come to a place where God does a miracle or I'm sunk. This is it. This is my lot. And in there, out of that place, there was a travail. Now, when the travail takes place, you take hold of God. It's a supernatural hand. When God moves, you take hold of God's hand. Is there anything impossible for the Lord? Anything. In fact, that's what Jesus said, didn't he? I mean, you know, God said to Mary, is there anything too hard? Nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. That is, if you travail in the Spirit, there's nothing that can't be changed. I'm wondering, look around, I mean, not around others, but just, you know, let the Holy Spirit highlight, you know. I wanted to ask you a question. Do you have a Hannah-like barrenness in your life? Certain area of life that's been giving you pain, barren. Doesn't have to be, you know, childbirth or whatever. Barrenness, giving you continual pain. I wonder whether that's strategic barrenness by God. Could that be God's way of driving you deeper into his presence so that you can walk in the fullness of what God has for you? That cannot come in any other natural way. Okay, I just want to quickly, I believe this is where we are, I believe, in a church. 110 years ago, I've shared with you, I think some time back, how God broke through into the world with his Holy Spirit. 1907 in Azusa Street, a young black one-eyed man, William J. Seymour, he was barren. He couldn't even study the Bible properly because he's black. Had nothing going. He went halfway through America in a train because he was invited by a little church. The finally, hungry man, for God, man of God, love prayer and word, but nobody will give him opportunity. Somebody gave him opportunity. He got onto the train, crossed for days, got off at LA to the church where he was invited to minister. They locked the door. Whoever had the key locked the door with a padlock so he couldn't even get in. Even before he started his ministry, he was kicked out from the church. He was on his own in a little corner all by himself. But he knew and he believed God is powerful. He can do something that cannot be done. And most people at the time didn't even know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was like. There was no greed for moving of God in that way. He cried out to God. He gave birth. Something that he could have never done if he had a just nice something going, you know. He would have never got to the place of travail. He travailed. Holy Spirit fell. And outside of his house, people began to just gather together. Holy Spirit fell. People were getting taken to heaven, having dreams and visions. People were getting saved on the spot without anything. Presence of God just fell. And then Azusa Street Revival broke out. They moved to a bigger place where glory of God filled that place. It was so intense that within 3 years, the missionary went all over the world. I mean, now 100 years later, 110 years later, more than 500 million Christians trace their roots to this one little place. God broke through. After that, 1948, Let It Rain Revival, healing revival broke through like you've never seen before. Prophecy, word of knowledge, angelic visitation, things were happening. I mean, the healing, raising the dead, all kinds of things were happening. So powerful, but it was very short-lived, like the first one. And then 1967, charismatic movement broke out. It was very wide. It was impacting every mainline denomination with the power of God, but it was very, very, in comparison, relatively shallow to the depth of power that was demonstrated to these two revivals. And then after that, there were bits and pieces of small outbreakings here and there, taking place. We are saying, yeah, yeah. And the promise was that before the return of Jesus Christ, God will send greatest, greatest move of God on the face of the earth where his glory is going to come down. He's going to want to come down. And there will be greatest harvest. You know, this Wednesday, I'll even share in Book of Revelation, chapter 14, talks about three harvests there. And the greatest harvest in the midst of trouble that the world has ever seen is going to be won. And God says it'll be done. It will be done. And all of the powerful move of the Spirit that he has done, he will do it multiplied many, many times over. Promise is there, but the pattern is that each time something breaks, it seems actually wavy smaller. And it's weaker than 110 years ago. And I'm going, what's going on? I've been, you know, since high school, I've been dreaming about, Lord, Holy Spirit, come and crash upon Australia. And I've been believing the Spirit of God just moving every single person healed and come to Christ, repentance, life's been transformed instantly, delivered from demons and all that. Lord, crying out to God and believing for it. Yet, whatever God does, it's smaller and weaker. What's going on? I think this is a strategic barrenness upon the church. I know God is doing great things in different parts of the world, but not in the same way, not consistently. And especially in our nation, Australia, we've been waiting for a long time. We haven't seen a major move of God, ever. Never, since the inception of our nation. Not like, we've only had a little spark and outbreak in Melbourne about 100 years ago with some very wide gathering and evangelism and Billy Graham and so on, visitation and so on. But we've never had a national revival like even the way Korea has or Chinese are having. And I'm going, what is going on? This is a strategic barrenness. God wants people who believe, not just get accustomed to this kind of Christianity and say, oh, you know, if we pull out a few gimmicks and make it fun, maybe we can have a little church going. No, no. Lift up our eyes. What does God want to bring on Australia and across the earth? What is God looking for? He's not looking for rich people, self-satisfied people who are barren people who are parched, grieving, believing, wanting more because God can do it. If He's done it in the past, He will do it again. I believe God is looking. I believe this is where my heart is, and this is where I believe this church, what we are all about. We love one another, but I want more than something nice and warm. I want people out there to see God and know God. I want, you know, we've been praying for healing. I know, you know, we've been praying for different things. Lely's eyes, we're healing. Thank God she's getting she's been improving, getting better. We want to see breakthroughs. We want to see miracles. I want people being delivered from oppression. And that's what I want. Do you? How many? You? That's not what you want? Amen? Can God do it?
Yes.
Can God do it? Are we going to go all the way until it happens? Because this is a place I like to see GI as a womb, where travail can take place. And let's not be satisfied with something small. God's blessed us, blessed you, and we, you know, all that. Let's not be satisfied with something small. God wants to have an outbreak of the Holy Spirit coming upon this nation. I believe God wants to transform this nation at a very fabric of society. I believe God will raise up a voices like Samuel once again, where a man will speak in the name of the Lord, and God will let none of their words to fall to the ground. That's the standard of prophetic God wants to raise. Do we believe that? I know I'm not there. I'm a bit of a hit and miss too. I'm not all miss. I'm hit and miss, I know. And I want to get to higher. I want to press in because it's available. God is saying, if you want it, you can have it. But not enough people wanting it. Too many people are satisfied with just a little nice, warm, churchy thing. And it is a prayer. Prayer. We have a lot of prayer meetings, I know. I want you, if you're stirred, God wants to use your spirit to travail, to bring this move of God, what He wants on earth. Amen. Amen. You know, Book of Revelation, this is the great sign. Great sign is a woman will be in travail and the fullness of the Son of God will come forth and she will be caught up in heaven. The throne of God is where we've got to go. I mean, church is not of the earth. Even though we can have enjoy the fat of this earth, we are not of this earth, we are from above. God is opening heaven. God is bringing more and more pilgrims to heaven, people who hunger and thirst after reality of heaven, the kingdom of God, His throne, His authority, Jesus, His glory, His power, His love. I want to experience it more. I don't want to just talk about it, but I do talk about it and experience it. So I want to pray until it happens. You know, if I die praying and believing, I believe and pray, dying, and maybe next generation will experience it, but God will bring it. He will do it. Amen? Let's believe. I'll close with Isaiah 54. You know, our church's vision is great harvest, end time harvest, power of the Spirit and power of the Word. This is what it's all about. God is, we are in an epoch-changing shift of the closing of the age, and He will break in. Amen. Let me just read you a few verses, and we're going to just stand up, and we're going to pray, and we'll close. This is God's promise. It says, sing, O barren, you have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Amen. And then You can read the whole chapter. Verse 4, it says, "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you are refused, says the Lord." And he says, goes on with a great, great, great promise. God will build your house, your walls. With sapphire stones, he will give you foundation. With gemstones, he will build your walls. And everyone who rises against you, God will personally fight for them. Every tongue of accusation, God will put it down. And God says, you will condemn, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You, we, our church, my life, your life, of what I desire since my youth, I've been barren. We've been barren. And the thing that I desire of God is to see his glory. We've been barren, and I acknowledge it. But we will not be barren forever. Amen. We will not be distracted with the small things. Let's believe God. Let's pray. Let's give birth to what God wants to bring to the earth. Prayer. And any barrenness and pain in your life, let me encourage you. Cry out to God. Experience God's miracle. Let's experience God's miracle. He will hear us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's all stand. Josh. What do you have? Which song do you have? The final one? The one that you finished off with. May the Lord lift your eyes. Oh, Father, you know the pains that we are going through. Lord God, pains of rejection, pains of hopelessness. Oh, Father, you've called us. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. You've created us for your divine purpose. Something far higher than this world can offer. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your blessing upon every one of us. Lord Jesus, anyone here, Lord, you know the pain, oh God, of struggle, Lord, broken relationships, oh God. Oh Lord, the financial lack, Lord, you know. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will teach us, oh God, how to cry out to you and receive from you directly, oh God. Directly, oh God, by opening up your heaven, oh God, and your answered prayer, Lord. Oh, Father God, and also I pray that you will awaken us for the things that you have for this nation and this end time, oh God. Great salvation of souls, great glory of God and the power of God. Lord, the ministry and the mysteries, oh God, of heaven that you want to bring to this earth as such that, Lord, no eyes has ever seen before. Nor has it entered into the heart of man the things you have prepared for those who love you. Abba, Father, that you will cause our spirit to be lifted, our eyes, oh God, to be fixed on you, to see what you have for us and believe. Oh God, rise in faith, oh God, and rise in determination. Rise in prayer, oh God, until we see, Lord, your hand move, oh God. I pray, Lord, that as many as those that you are awakening with clear purpose, oh God, to seek you, Father, for personal battle, as well as the battle of heaven for this earth, oh God. I pray that you will give them sword. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you will hand swords of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, you will strengthen every heart, oh God, with faith to believe in the name of Jesus, that we will come before you. Oh, Father, we cry out to you, Lord. Would you restore your voice back to this earth once again? Would you release your prophetic, oh God, at a highest level
that you have, Lord, that you have withheld in purpose, Father God. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that you will open every person's eyes and ears to see and hear. Oh God, see your throne, see into the spirit, oh God, and hear your voice so clearly, like Samuel. Because Lord, we your church are generation of Samuels coming forth in Jesus' name. Lord God, we are not happy with low level anointing, oh God. Father God, we want to see, Lord, deeper water, deeper things of the Spirit of God, deeper things of intimacy with Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, release it. Release it, oh God, in Jesus' name. Release it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Release it to us. Release it to this church. Release it to every heart that cries out and believes, dare to believe for more. Dare to believe for more in the midst of barrenness. Dare to believe, oh God, for the release of God. Release of God's glory. Hallelujah. And knowing and walking with you, oh God. Hallelujah. Why don't we just, a few minutes, just lift up, raise up our voices. Just talk to God. Talk to God. Raise up your voice. Talk to God. Lord Jesus, you release your God. I feel the Lord is here. It's an angelic ministry here right now. They're listening. Releasing. Use this time. Speak out the depth of your heart. Small surface prayer. Prayer of your life, the center that rises out of the center of your desire.
Your eyes upon.
to feel the presence of God here. And Father, I pray that you bless your people. Lord, every hand that's been raised, Lord, I pray that you bless them. Lord, I pray that you lift, uplift every heart, oh God, that are downcast. Lord, I pray that you will use every pain to drive us to encounter with you in a deeper level of prayer and a travail of the Spirit, oneness with you, that the world will know that there is God in heaven who makes himself known through his people. Father, I pray for blessing for every family. It's this church, oh God, the children, the family, Lord, the work of their hands, oh God. I pray, Lord, that this year will be a year where we draw near to you in prayer and find you in a fresh way, in a deep way. Lord, that this year, Lord, I pray that every barrenness, oh God, give birth in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, every heart brokenness will be mended and give birth to the joy, hallelujah, of answered prayer. In the name of Jesus, the Lord bless you. The Lord be with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What we're going to do is just, we're going to just respect the presence of God here. So if you need to have a tea, you can just go quietly out. If you want to just sit for a little while, for the next 5-10 minutes, and do business with God and talk to God, just stay, you know, remain seated and talk to God. Hallelujah. And we're not going to pack the chairs yet. We'll do it, you know, in 10 minutes. You know, we'll give another 10 to 15 minutes. Is it okay? So you can just pray and seek God.